The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC live here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop, Frank LaBeouf, and Ali Moreno. Lots going on, of course, today. Later on in the show, a bumper preview of that must-win clash for the US as they take on Iran. We'll discuss the rumours of Messi going to Inter Miami, plus strange goings-on at Juventus. We'll break down everything you need to know about the board resigning. We'll kick things off, though. The favourites to win the World Cup. Brazil in action against Switzerland. They made it two wins out of two. It looked like they were going to be frustrated by the Swiss, but in the end, a brilliant goal from Casemiro would prove to be the difference between the two sides. Brazil then make it through to the knockout stages. Switzerland still very much alive in the group. They win on the final day. They will be joining Brazil in the round of 16. I suppose the big question, Ali, going into this was how would Brazil cope without Neymar? What answer did they give us?
Well, the first answer had to be given by Tite and what his reaction was going to be and what his decision was going to be. And I didn't like it.
Paqueta coming in.
Well, Paqueta was playing, but Fred came in. So Fred now is dropping in and playing with Casemiro and Paqueta sort of playing the role of Neymar. I would have left Paqueta right alongside Casemiro and actually put Rodrigo in the position of Neymar. So Rodrigo has the freedom to do the things that he does so very well. The team changed when Rodrigo came on the field, and Brazil became better when he was on the field. This idea of having to play with two holding midfielders, if you're Brazil, when you're playing against a team in Switzerland that really made no effort whatsoever to attack, Switzerland were simply playing for the draw. Simple as that. That's all they were doing. And Brazil was playing into their hands because now you have two holding midfielders, and Fred doesn't really give you much in the attacking half. The game got better for Brazil, slightly better for Brazil early in the second half. The substitution Rodrigo made a difference. And then once Brazil just kind of started moving the ball a little bit quicker in the final third, and Switzerland was just kind of hanging on, and there was no threat that they were going to go on the attack. They were never able to get out. It was a matter of time. You would have thought it would have come from Rodrigo, would have come from Vinicius, would have come from Richarlison, but you'll take it if it came from Casemiro, and what a goal it was from him.
It was a goal that just came from nothing, really.
Yeah, but the end was quite exceptional.
Yeah.
Fantastic volley, even if it was a little bit deflected by the defender. I think what Casemiro brought is what you love about midfield players, when they go and carry on and play and score goals to help the strikers maybe a little bit stuck with the defense. I think they deserved it. You know, there was a previous goal been disallowed for almost nothing, Richarlison being offside. But going back to what Neymar can bring to the game, I think he brings the mess in the other side by his attitude maybe, but also because of his football, because he brings the pace that you were talking about, you know, and that we don't have with Paqueta or of course with Fred. But Tite had the right to be wrong at first. I like the fact that he recovered by putting Rodrigo on and Paqueta out, and then the game changed.
Brazil were nowhere near their best today.
No,
they didn't really have to get out of second gear, yet they still get the win. They're still unbeaten, and they're still through to the next round.
They certainly didn't need to get out of second gear. They didn't need to do an awful lot to get a point out of this, because Ali's right. Switzerland came very disciplined in their approach to pick up a point, understandably, when you come up against a team like Brazil. And the only time really that the Swiss were caught napping, so to speak, in the first half, Vinicius Junior kind of goes around the blind side, defender doesn't track him, and he doesn't catch the volley as cleanly as Jan Sommer, who's an outstanding goalkeeper, made easy work of that. My complaint about Brazil, particularly in that first half, and Ali's right, until Rodrigo comes on, is nobody being prepared to play in those little half spaces that Neymar just thrives in. That gives defenders so much to think about. The Swiss were disciplined, Brazil equally so. And it seemed as though Brazil were just happy to play that disciplined game and hope that something happened because they had the better players. And the Swiss were happy just to ride out the 90 minutes and see what happened. Then Rodrigo comes in, and the goal that was disallowed was Richarlison coming from deep into that half spot. Yes, he started off in an offside position. That was the right call. And then when the deadlock broken by Casemiro, again, popping up in a position that not expected to, and as a result, the Swiss didn't know how to adjust. And brilliant finish by him. But that was the biggest miss for me in not having Neymar on the park. Somebody just to sit in those half spaces so the defense aren't sure, do they come forward, midfield unsure, do we drop back, and that allows space for your wingers, who otherwise were brilliant. I have to say, I thought Rafinha was poor today. But gives those players the kind of space that they need, and they thrive it.
I think after two games, general consensus, two best teams we've seen is France and Brazil. What are you doing?
I'm checking the names of some players, if you don't mind. You know, Brazil against Switzerland. So I want to... Well, while you give me the opportunity to cut
you've had
off,
all day. You've had all day to prepare. You have to do it when we're live.
No. I'm sorry. So can you have some doubts? You don't have any doubts in your life, you know? So you want to make sure.
I've got many doubts.
Just one thing about... We're going to talk about Brazil, but I just want to point the fact that one day we're going to have to admit that Sommer is one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Because what he does for, like, the past 2 years, and he's been not mentioned because he doesn't belong to the top team, is for me, exceptional.
Yeah. Would you prefer to be Brazilian or France or French after what we've seen so far?
In what general kind of, or just today?
Exactly. What a question. I always say that Brazil, for me, were the favourites.
Right.
And I still believe that they are more complete than the French national team, especially because France had some injuries inside the squad. And I still now believe that they're more armed to win that World Cup than the French team. But every game you have to prove that you deserve to win. And I'm going to stick to the fact that Brazil can win the World Cup. But sorry, as a French guy, I have to go for my French side.
I'm sorry. So we're sticking with Brazil, but we're staying French.
There is the talk and there is the
right,
inner
yes.
of the
yeah.
talk.
I've just been told your answer was Denmark. Elsewhere in the group, of course, both teams going into this tie, knowing a win would see them through after what we saw take place earlier on in the day. What a game between Cameroon and Serbia. Serbia 3-1 up, Cameroon are getting it back to get a point, meaning they have it all to play for going into the final round of matches. For more on this, let's welcome Nadim and Nua. Hey, Nadim, some of that Serbian defending was like you back in the day.
Oh, wow. Dan, you think I was that good? Wow, thank you so much, Dan. What a great response. No, this was a great game. Really, really was. Yeah. I think when you saw Cameroon take the lead, you're thinking, well, this is them. They're going to crack on. They're going to do great in the game. But then before you know it, they've essentially been outplayed by the Serbians. And they're 3-1 down. And I think one thing I've found in this sort of second round of fixtures, there's a sense of desperation that's come from the teams who sort of fall behind. And the response from Cameroon was incredible. They basically played in a 4-2-4. They had Toko Akambe, they had Aboubakar, they had Choupo-Moting, they had Mbouma, and they really, really went for it. And this finish here, I genuinely believe Aboubakar has only done this because he thought he was offside. That's why he didn't celebrate. But then the joy as it did went into the net and the VAR said it was a goal was incredible. And then this one here for Choupo-Moting as well. It was a very, very key decision from the right back for the second time now to just drop that little bit too deep. But it's just good to see that a team will go for it when something is on the line. And it made for a great, great game. I think the Serbians will feel so disappointed that they didn't come out and finish the tie off. You know, 3-1 up playing the way they were playing. But it just goes to show, whilst the clock's still going there, you've still got time. Something's still in your favour. And if you go for it, anything is possible.
It's just frozen there, obviously. How good was that? It's all right, Nadim. You just froze for a moment. Just finish off what you were saying.
I don't remember which bit I got up to, but with Aboubakar, I think it was an incredible finish. You can see he's kind of only done it because he was offside. But, you know, the skill, the run itself was fantastic. And I was delighted for them. You know, it looked like they were so down when it was 3-1. But then before you know it, they're straight back in, it's 3-3. And come the end of the game, both teams are thinking they probably didn't lose it. So now as they go into that next game, there's something on the line for them. And, yeah, from some of the football that they've played and the goals that they've scored, why would you not believe that you're going to be able to get through to the next round?
That finish was naughty, Ali. So naughty. I love those.
Yeah, well, it was beautiful, right? Now, Nathan is saying he already knew or thought he was offside, so therefore that's what he was going to do, just to kind of play it off. And I'm thinking, let's give the guy some credit.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, he figured out, you know, this is the only way that I'm getting it around the goalkeeper, in this case, over the goalkeeper. This is the only way that I'm going to score it. Let me tell you something. There's some dinks over the top, and then there is what he did. This scoop has some height on it.
Yeah.
That's some real...
That's a lob wedge, right?
Yeah. One of your lob wedges. Well,
no. That would have hit the goalkeeper, right?
Regardless, though, when you have so much time to think about how you're going to finish a chance, there is, and I speak from experience with this, there's perhaps the slightest chance that you may just think too much and are unable to come up with the right answer. And whether he was trying to do it or not, he came up with the right answer. That was gorgeous.
It keeps them alive, but obviously Cameroon's next game is against Brazil, who will go into the tie knowing that they're already through. Meanwhile, elsewhere, it is Switzerland that will take on Serbia. Switzerland in the driving seat, avoiding defeat would be enough for them, in theory, to grab that second place. Who are you going for, Isha? Who's going through?
I think Brazil, Switzerland. I think, listen, I understand Cameroon's still in the tie, Brazil already through, and you kind of prefer to be playing the favourites at this point as your third game of the tournament. But I still think Brazil, even if you make changes, this squad is just so deep.
Yeah.
And even if TJ makes changes, he has so much talent to call on. And then players are given an opportunity to play their way into his starting lineup. And that is something you don't want to be facing, a talented side with something to prove. And if you're Cameroon, I just fear that even a second string Brazil is a little too far to climb.
Who you got, Nathan?
So I did have Brazil and Switzerland going through, but I don't think it's just going to be an obvious result in that Brazil game, because when it comes down to Cameroon, they will not give up. They've got one game to potentially get themselves into the next round. And even though Brazil technically do have the better players and, you know, they're in the better moment, as we can see from the game today, you know, they were 3-1 down. It was all done and dusted. Until it wasn't. So I am going to go for those two, but I do believe that the game will be a lot tighter than we think.
Quick picks, gentlemen. Ali?
Brazil, Switzerland. You wanted it quick, right?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yes.
Next topic.
Yep. Well, just a reminder for more topics, so you can check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel, The Boys Staying Late, to answer some of your tweets.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Right, let's get to the main course, shall we? A massive game tomorrow for the US as they take on Iran. A victory will see them through to the next round. Anything else will see them out of the World Cup. It is time for our camp report, brought to you by Modelo.
Return to the field for its final training session before Tuesday's make-or-break game with Iran. Questions still lingered over Sunday's decision by U.S. Soccer to show support for women in Iran by posting images to its social media account that showed Iran's flag without the Islamic Republic symbol at its center. Iranian officials have called for FIFA to conduct an investigation into the posts, but Iran's coach played down the situation on Monday, saying given a game of this magnitude, his players won't need any extra motivation.
If after 42 years in this game as a coach, I still believe that I could win games with those mental games, I think I did not learn nothing about the game.
You know, I don't want to sound aloof or not caring by saying that, but
You know, the guys have worked really hard for the last 4 years. We have 72 hours between England and Iran, and we really are just focused on how to get past Iran that we can go to this knockout stage of the tournament.
In terms of on-field issues facing the U.S. right now, the biggest issue is the most basic one. Through 180 minutes, the U.S. has scored just one goal. And since only a win takes them through to the knockout round on Tuesday, Greg Berhalter was asked if he's considered making changes at striker, including putting in Gio Reyna, a midfielder who has played sparingly so far. Berhalter said, yes, scoring is going to be a necessity on Tuesday, but said right now he and his coaching staff are looking at the three named strikers they already have, Haji Wright, Josh Sargent, and Jesus Ferreira. In Doha, Sam Borden, ESPN.
Let's take a look then at how the bookies have things. The U.S. favorites, even on money to advance. Iran 3-1, a draw, of course, which would be good for Iran as well, at 12-5. For more on this, oh, it's like a someone who loves alliteration will love who we have on now, because it's Taylor Twelman and Casey Keller to look ahead to this game. Casey, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. You know, I think it's a great progression from, you know, from the second half in the Wales game to, you know, to what we saw and the energy levels in the England game. So I think that gives a lot of people a lot of hope that the U.S. can then take it one step further and see this game out. Yes, it seems like all the stuff off the field seems to be building. There was the issue with Klinsmann and Kirosh the other day, and then the flag issue, and then the crazy press conference and the questions that were asked to Greg and Tyler Adams. So, yeah, it seems like whatever they can do to wind this game up a little bit more seems to be happening. But, you know, in the end, it's really just, you know, two groups of players who understand that they need to perform on the day to get a result to go through in the World Cup. Yeah, the geopolitical stuff aside, just go perform. And that's what I want from the U.S. team, just to make sure that you have a good group of players in the right mentality who are ready for what's such a big game, and just to make sure that you perform on the day.
And in that performance, if they want to go through, they have to score, Taylor. Who's up top for you? How do you line this side up to get the best out of this U.S. squad?
I'm surprised, I think all of us are, that we're sitting here talking about the final group stage game for the United States, and Giovanni Reyna has had very little to do with anything. And even Brendan Aaronson, to a certain extent, hasn't played as much as everyone. And I'm not sitting here telling you that Pulisic or Weah haven't been good, but through the middle, the number nine position has been a real problem for the United States, and in particular under Greg Berhalter and his tenure. And there was a lot of scuttlebutt about whether or not Ricardo Pepi should have gone or whatnot, but he didn't score a goal for over 14 months. There is not a single player for the United States in that nine position that has scored goals regularly. And so the first game he went with Sargent, the second one he went with Wright. I'd be stunned if he doesn't go with Jesus Ferreira, because it seems like right now that Greg Berhalter's looking at his squad and saying, you know what, I'm going to throw the chips in the air and see what lands. In saying that, I think you've got to be a little different here, because Iran's going to sit in defend. Carlos Kirosh is going to sit in and say, go ahead, try to break us down. And that is the one thing where Greg Berhalter, throughout the entire World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF, they struggled to break down teams that sat in a low block. So Jesus Ferreira gives them a little bit more nuance. But if you're not playing Brendan Aaronson from the start and Giovanni Reyna's not coming in at halftime, if you're scoreless, then honestly, Dan, I don't know what we're doing, because quite honestly, your best players are the five or six players in the midfield. And if you need to take a center forward off to get your best players on the field, that gives you the most odds of scoring a goal. And right now they haven't looked that dangerous, even though they played well against England.
So how could you work it, Taylor? Could you have almost an Aaronson, Pulisic, Gio Reyna three floating in as a false nine? Is that an answer maybe to what we're looking for here? Because as you say, you need quality up front for an Iran side that's going to be sitting in.
Yeah, I mean, you could play Pulisic through the middle, because at times, even though he hasn't played well there, he's played that position for Chelsea, and this is against the low block. against Morocco in the friendly that we did on ESPN, I suggested the idea of Timothy Weah through the middle. But against Iran, there's not a ton of space in behind, so that doesn't work. But I think you've got to get more players between the ears that are very competent in finding spaces, combining, and trying to create space both with and without the ball. So why not have Pulisic through the middle and Reyna and Aronson and even others running off of them? Weah may not be valuable in this game because there's not going to be a ton of space. He may be more valuable coming off the bench if the United States score the first goal. Then Iran knows they need to chase the game, and then space opens up. I think Greg's got to be a little bit more creative with this front four or five attacking spaces, and I think it's playing a false nine through the middle. Right now, if you ask me, I'm telling you, I think it's got to be Christian Pulisic, but I don't think he's going to do so.
What would you do, Casey?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those conundrums, right? Because I'm not a big fan of just changing for the sake of changing. I like stability in a lineup. They went very stable without having to make changes. Obviously, a lot of it will depend on what the last 3 days of rehab looked like for everybody. We knew that guys coming in didn't have a lot of match fitness. We know that they're going to need to up those energy levels again. We also know that it's an Iran side, as Taylor mentioned. Feel comfortable in a low block. They feel comfortable also waiting for a team to overexpose themselves and then hit on the counter. So not only do you have to be careful with bringing in five or six really offensive-minded players who are thinking, got to get a goal. Let's, keep going at them. And then having that moment where you're unbalanced, hit on the counter, and when you've had 70% possession, you find yourself a goal down, and now you're really chasing it because you got to get two goals to get yourself back in the game. So, yeah, Greg has to really make sure that he comes into the game with a level of stability, and then as you all have mentioned, Taylor have mentioned, there are options to come off the bench to be able to change it if need be to be more attack-minded.
Who have you got up top, Ali?
I'm going to keep it really simple, Dan. If I need to score goals, right, and I'm the manager of this team, I look at what's available, and I pick the players who I think not only are the most talented, but who have the most ability to create in tight spaces. So then, if that's my criteria, It may not be Berhalter's, but it's my criteria in this game and the challenges that Iran present. There is no chance that if Gio Reyna is healthy, fit, and ready to go, that he's not on the field for me. Because he's one of the few players in this squad, when you look at the talent personnel, he's one of the few players in this squad that can get on those spaces. He likes to run in behind. He has that kind of ability, but he also can get in between lines, and he's strong enough and skilled enough to where he can withstand a challenge, turn, and go at a defender. And when he does that, guess who frees up? It frees up Christian Pulisic, because he's going to attract attention to him, and then Pulisic becomes a guy who's an outlet. If Pulisic attracts attention, now you have Gio Reyna, and he's an outlet. But now you don't have that. So far, what you've had is they've addressed Pulisic, they've addressed him with Tim Weah, and then down the middle, there's no threat, so we don't even have to address that. So defensively, again, it's a whole lot easier to defend if you just have a guy who's not going to give you a whole lot of productivity. Whoever that guy may be, Haji Wright and company. So for me, Gio Reyna has to play. That's as simple as I can keep it. If I'm Berhalter, Gio Reyna has to be on the field.
Taylor, obviously we know how big a game this is, and we know the youth within this side. Have they got what it takes to take this pressure?
I think so. I do. I think as much as we talk about youth and inexperience, you have to also look at Greg Berhalter in the same manner. He's very young in his managerial career. And so when you look at that, does he have the wherewithal to say, you know what, in the second half, I got to make decisions here that change the game in our favor? I don't think this game can be won in the first 15, 20 minutes. We saw it with Canada recently scoring an early goal and absolutely getting their doors blown off by Croatia. So the United States had to be very careful. You can't win it in the first 15, but you sure as hell can lose it. And so that's where the experience that Casey Keller's talking about, and even you're asking, is where do they have that? In saying that, Dan, before this tournament started, I answered that question of inexperience of saying this. we can talk about experience, but if you're experienced with all negativity and everything's been bad, I don't want that experience. I'd rather have a young, naive, inexperienced team that's trying to create their own story and energy, for lack of a better word. And so that's why this group, sure they can, absolutely they can. But if they get punched in the face, this team, historically under Greg Berhalter, has shown the inability to react. And that's the most important thing I think everyone needs to realize here, is that if the first goal comes from the United States, that works in their favor, because then Iran has to come out from the low block, then it plays into their strengths. But if Iran get the first goal, that anxiety, that everything's going to go against the United States, that's where this could be a real difficult 90 minutes plus.
Here we go then. Let's take a look at everyone's predictions going into this tie. Is it positive or negative? Myself and Shaka see the US going home.
What?
Why do you hate America?
Controversy.
That is not the case at all. Full disclosure, I had England and Iran going through before this tournament started. And I have to admit,
you also had Argentina to win it, and you switched that very quickly.
Yes, so. But I'm sticking with this one. And there are a few things in terms of Iran here that that made me think that they posed a significant threat. Highest ranked team in Asia, playing in region, I thought it put them in a really good position. I also, what's been happening off the field politically around Iran can work in one of two ways. It can either be detrimental to you, or it can prove to be a real inspiration. Then the England game, and I thought it was the former. And then the response against Wales. And I think that last few minutes in particular is why I think Iran gets it done. They have real momentum in their side. On their side, they have a real belief about that result, what it means, and what they as a team mean to their home country. You contrast that with the US, who felt they should have gotten more against Wales, played well against England, but frustrated in the fact that they barely tested Jordan Pickford, and knew Pulisic hit the crossbar, but didn't really pose enough of a threat, and they have more questions to answer. Then we come down to the coaches, an inexperienced Berhalter up against a very experienced Carlos Queiroz, who's been here, seen it, and done it. I'm leaning Iran.
It's a hard guess, you know, and it goes, for me, that game goes far above a normal football game in a way that, of course, we all talked about the tactic, but what's going to happen in the player's head if they score a goal or they concede a goal? That's going to be the trick for me, because you have to react. Are you in a good frame of mind to be able to react if you concede a goal, if you play too low, like maybe the United States will play at first, to react and be more positive or more above, in front, and playing, you know, a little bit further up? That's the only question mark that I have. Are they ready to play the game of their lives? That's the answer we're going to get tomorrow.
Last word on this to you, Taylor. What's your prediction?
That's an interesting one. I am on the record, full disclosure. I said the long shot to get out of the group, the best bet was Iran. They were plus almost 10-1 odds before the tournament started to get out of the group. Now, part of that was I thought England wasn't playing well. I thought Wales was old and dead, and they were there to be had. And the United States and Iran would ultimately play in the final group stage game, and here we are. I think Frank hit the nail on the head. And in case he knows this better than anyone, but 1998... Iran versus the United States in that World Cup final group stage game, that was the biggest game of that federation's life. And they still to this day talk about that game and that win. The energy of that, what Frank is talking about, is nothing we can quantify, nothing we can put a finger on how big of a game this is for one team and how big of a game this is for another. That is the energy that I think for the United States is going to be very difficult. My gut and my brain all along has said this is a draw, because the United States have struggled to score goals, and I think they're going to struggle to score goals again.
A lot more, by the way, as we say, thank you very much to Casey and Taylor, about what happened in 1998, a fascinating piece over on the website. Be sure to check it out.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, today's World Cup saw Portugal beat Uruguay by 2-0. Bruno Fernandes with both goals, whether you like it or not.
No. Ronaldo scored.
You sure it wasn't Ronaldo?
He touched it.
No, he didn't.
Nadim, as this game went on, really, it looked like there was only going to be one winner.
Perhaps. I think in the first half, it seemed like Uruguay were just more intent on passing sideways and backwards. And then whenever they went too far back, kicked the ball back to Portugal to start their next attack. It was, it wasn't a fun watch. But I think looking at some of the Portugal players in terms of the way they're moving, I thought Fernandes was moving well. Bernardo Silva was moving well. Ronaldo was coming and trying to link it with the play. But then, you know, obviously after Portugal scored that first goal, Uruguay kind of come to life. And they're pushing a bit more and they have some chances. And they're probably going to be disappointed they didn't take some of those. But I think today, ultimately, the better side won. And you've got to sort of ask the question, like, for Uruguay, how can you be two different sides within the space of 90 minutes? And some of it, is it mentality? Is it tactics? Is it something else? I'm not sure. But now they go into that last game and, you know, they have to play better. They have to play better from the start because I think their opposition could be very tricky for them otherwise.
As a striker, you're claiming that goal if you're Ronaldo, yeah?
Of course.
And if there is a slight touch, I suppose, but not when it's obvious that it's not you.
But did you maybe just felt the air? That might have, it's really close.
Of course Ronaldo's going to go claim it, but he knows he hasn't touched it. Even, you know how he knows he hasn't touched it? Because he didn't even give it the full commitment. He didn't commit to that one. He's like, maybe I touched it, yeah.
Right.
He knew he didn't touch it. And it was also funny when they focus on him and in the stadium, they are saying that the goal is now Bruno Fernandes' goal. And while the game is going on, Cristiano is speaking. He's speaking at the screen. He's like, what? It's my goal. You give it to Bruno? Oh, but it's my goal. You know what the next action was? Top of the 18-yard box. There was a chance for him to deliver the ball to Joao Felix, who was running in behind. And Ronaldo said, no. No, sir. I'm taking this shot from here. I'm taking it twice. It's going to hit defenders. It doesn't matter. I'm about to score a goal. He did not.
I think we are all dreamers. And everybody wants the fairy tale, you know. He plays his last World Cup. He has to score. And even if he doesn't touch it, yeah, let's pretend he touched it.
I don't think anyone's pretending he touched it. And he's the only one who is.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I feel so bad for him. Because I'm 38 years old. You want to lie about something that everybody clearly saw. And that's... No, I don't want to be rude towards that action because I think he's so striving to get something out of it. And he was out when he got the penalty on top of it, so
yes, yeah.
He didn't score the goal again. Oh my God, I felt so bad for him, you know. And at the same time, I found it a little bit pathetic, I would say.
Well, you mentioned the penalty, of course. It had to go to a VAR review to be awarded. And it was interesting, the discussions that were going on around it as to where the law stands. Well, the law stands. In fact, it's written in the IFAB book, Jack, that you wrote, basically.
Oh, so it's my fault.
Sure.
That because his hand is being used,
to kind of cushion the fall, it's not a penalty. No. Yeah. So you wonder why the officials. Here it is.
Yeah. This is from IFAB. In their booklet.
So Ali and I were having a long discussion about this and how this decision was made. And it was almost as a compromise in that you have to use your hand to brace your fall. You have to. The concern was that players often left their arm above their shoulder trailing, knowing full well that they were making their body bigger. So if the arm was above the shoulder, that would be given as a handball, whether it's outside the box. If it's inside the box, obviously a penalty. But if the arm is shoulder height or below, that's an unnatural act of bracing your foot for your fall. Yeah. And so it should not be punished in the same way. So to see this given, and while if I'm Portuguese, if I'm Bruno Fernandes, I understand the appeals. I understand why you think it should be given. But as the law is written, it's not a handball.
The referee got it right. The referee got it right initially.
Well, and then he got bullied, didn't he?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He got it right. And then it was VAR who then brings him over and essentially, yes, bullies him, puts pressure on him, say, come and check this out. Come and see this video. Let me slow it down for you. And now the hand is here. Now, my question to both of them would be, what are you supposed to break dance when you're about to go down? Are you supposed to bring the hand down, then bring the hand up, and then bring the hand down again?
And shake it all about?
It just doesn't make any sort of sense. And so for me, even if you got bullied into making this decision, the referee at the end has the final decision. And he saw it first. And the interpretation of the law, as you just stated, was incorrect. So if the referees themselves, if the VAR official himself or herself do not know the laws, then the game is gone.
Isn't it their job? Shouldn't they just
do that?
But to that point, and again, we were talking about VAR and how you use it. I felt that the VAR sends a message to the referee, have a review if he so thinks, and then let the referee review without having to consult anyone. But as the referee looks at the screen, he's walking away and seemingly talking to someone who you can only assume is a VAR, which made it even more odd for me. It just didn't make any sense.
Meanwhile, elsewhere, South Korea against Ghana. Brilliant game. Incredible stuff from South Korea, who just threw everything but the kitchen sink at Ghana. But in the end, somehow, Nadim, it's Ghana who get the victory.
Yeah, this was such a strange game. I think from the way it started, I fancied South Korea to go on and win it because they were moving the ball so well, everything was going well for them. But then this is ultimately football, isn't it? It's a crazy old game. But, you know, even when it was 3-2, you're thinking there's still going to be a chance. South Korea are going to go forward, they're going to score their goal, but it just wasn't to be for them. And then you saw the scenes at the end when the manager's frustrated in the fact that they were only given 11 minutes of the 10 minutes that were supposed to be given to them. But this is the passion of the game itself. I think from being 2-0 down and pushing on and coming back to 2-2, they're probably thinking they're going to go on and win the game, but then they get hit almost straight away. And it's just those little moments, little lapses in concentration that can be so, so difficult to come back from. And unfortunately for them, they weren't able to do that. But I think they showed more in this game today than they did in their first game. And going into that last game, there will be positives for them. But they just have to clean up a certain part of their act, especially given the fact that when they were on top, they didn't manage to score those goals to really take the game away from Ghana. And in the end, you keep them alive, and this is what can happen.
Yeah, indeed, keeps them alive. Let's take a look then at how the group stands going into the final round of matches. Of course, we'll see Uruguay take on Ghana. Uruguay must win. Portugal already through. They are in the round of 16. They take on South Korea. Who's going through in this group, Nadim?
I think it's going to be tough. This is a tough one. It's a very, very tough one. I'm going to go for Portugal and I will say South Korea.
Oh,
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Portugal and South Korea.
Okay, Ali?
Yeah,
I'm going to say Portugal and Uruguay. Yes.
Comebol lovers.
Well, yes, that and the fact that after the first game, I asked Diego Alonso that he had to play Darwin Núñez to the middle and that Luis Suárez could not start. and that he had to release Valverde to be more of an attacking presence. Well, he did one of those things today. Luis Suarez did not start. So what I'm hoping is that by the third game, we're going to get it all right. Nunez down the middle, Valverde more of an attacking presence, play with four in the back. Godin doesn't give you much defensively nowadays. And so have that fourth, that extra midfielder in an area in which now you can free up Valverde to get forward, and then he gives you more of a presence in the attack. In a game in which neither one of these teams have proven that they want to attack, neither Ghana nor Uruguay have proven that they want to attack, that they want to get forward, I want to suggest that Uruguay may just do enough, win the match, and be able to advance.
I go for Portugal and South Korea. I mean, I love the guys, the way they think about playing the football, and I like Bento, what he does, even if he gets crazy at the end of that game. And I, you know what? We had four games today. I enjoyed the game of the so-called lesser teams because they go for it. They play, they stop thinking sometimes, you know, they go for it. Like, we love the football. Football is about craziness. We don't see that. It's too tactical, it's too thoughtful at some point. And I like. And I like the fact that Korea, South Korea, can surprise.
So they're going to beat Portugal.
Portugal, oh yeah, well, certainly not Uruguay.
Right, but South Korea is going to beat Portugal.
Yes.
Because they need to beat Portugal.
South Korea is going to beat Portugal.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
I think Portugal and Uruguay both win their respective games they go through.
Thank you very much, Xhaka. Thank you very much, Nader. That was very serious, Xhaka.
Yes. IFA, when you brought up IFA, he got serious.
just a reminder, plenty of World Cup content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go there and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. As we turn our attention away from the World Cup, and a big story coming out of Italy today about the team that are currently sitting third in the table. Story that the board at Juventus have resigned. So that's Nedved, Agnelli, the president, and Arriva Bene, the CEO. For more on this, Gab Marcotti joins us. Gab, what's happened?
Well, what's happened is, as you know, Juventus have been under investigation, mainly in two fronts. One, over false accounting. This is both a civil investigation as well as a sporting investigation, inflating transfer values and whatnot. The other one also supposedly to do with some of the pay cuts that the players took during COVID, the way they were accounted for. This is relevant because Juventus are listed on the stock exchange, so they have to follow certain standards. And what's happened is Juventus still 100% maintaining their innocence, saying that they acted in line with best accounting practice and blah, blah, blah. But they say, you know what? It's probably best if our entire board resigns and we think about appointing a new one going forward. The way most people have taken this is that the new board will not include Andrea Agnelli and Pavel Nedved. I think that remains to be seen, but certainly, I think it certainly looks like the Agnelli era is over, and it looks like Juventus are taking this investigation extremely seriously.
Does this affect anything on the pitch, Gab?
Well, I think a lot of it is going to depend on how quickly they have a new board and new decision makers in place. Had Max Allegri not turned things around a little bit, and the talk of the town was be like, oh my God, are they going to sack Allegri? Who's going to replace him? Blah, blah, blah. Then I think it would have been an issue. Now there's a bit more stability. There's a bit more breathing room, certainly in terms of the actual employees of the club. They're going to operate. They're going to try to do the whatever moves they're going to make in January. So I think in the short term, no. In the medium term, I think it's a big step if Andrea Agnelli turns out he's not part of this club's future. Obviously, having led the club for so many years, it is a major, major shift of direction at Juve.
And of course, he's trying to lead the club into a Super League direction. That then, what does that mean now, Gab?
Well, that right now is in the hands of the courts, right? The European courts, we're going to get a preliminary verdict from the Chief Justice in late December. And then, in fact, the day before the Champions League final, but the World Cup final, rather. And then in the next couple of months, we will get the definitive verdict. I don't think you need Agnelli at this point for it to happen. If it goes the way Florentino Perez wants it to go, then we go in one direction. If not, we go in a different direction. So I don't think it impacts that. And certainly as far as Juve's owners are concerned, if they were interested in the Super League before, presumably they'll continue to be interested in it. I think, you know, after leaving the ECA with many of the issues that Agnelli's had, the more recent investigations, the whole screw-up with the Super League, the Luis Suarez and his fake Italian lessons, all these things coming together one on top of the other. You know, I think he's already to step back and take on a lower profile anyway.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. For a lot more from Gab, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. They're, of course, both live in Qatar. You can check that out over on the website. Well, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. For Argentina, a big sigh of relief, of course. After that victory against Mexico, it leads in second in Group C. Lionel Messi scored in that game, by the way. Yes.
Unbelievable.
I thought you were booing him.
No.
Oh, it was like, ooh.
Well, it's a surprise, you know. Messi scoring a goal.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I never seen that in my life.
And that goal seems to put him on the radar of Inter Miami, Jules.
Ooh. Ooh. Jules would have done, ooh.
This is a story, of course, that broke yesterday. Ooh. What is the latest on this possible move that would come, of course, at the end of his season at PSG?
Well, it was reported in England that he was very close to agreeing a move to Inter Miami for next season. What we're being told by Messi's people and even at PSG is that none of that is true for now. He might end up at Inter Miami, and I hope for Inter Miami fans that it happens. But right now, he hasn't agreed to go anywhere. We know there's three options, and we discussed it before on the show. One is to stay in Paris. He's got a third year in option in his contract that he can trigger with the club. But I think the club right now are trying to, they're ready to offer him an extra two-year deal and everything that he wants, pretty much. Or he can go back to Barcelona, which I think he also probably thinks is not the best of ideas. Or go indeed to Inter Miami and to MLS, which is something that he said before he wants to do one day. We know he obviously has a house in Miami. They have family holidays there quite regularly. You could see the attraction to Miami and to MLS in general. But I think right now it feels like, one, there's no rush to take a decision because he's focused on the World Cup. And after that, there will still be 6 months before he has to make a decision. And two, if he feels like he can still play in Europe, he can still play with PSG, and PSG have a very competitive team to win him another Champions League, I think why not staying at least another year in Paris and see what happens. MLS and Inter Miami will always be there in a year, in 2 years. So maybe you could think that there's no point going this summer.
His agents come out and said this is fake news. There are no negotiations, Jules. So you kind of look at this and the origin of it. It must come from like a Beckham or Neville if it's come from England.
Yeah, I mean, I'm debating to know if Lionel Messi knows who the manager is at Inter Miami, because just that should put him off, really. More seriously, we know, for example, that Jorge Mas, it had to be said, Jorge Mas, for example, is very close to the Messi family. I think he had to be said. Jorge Mas is very close to the Messi clan, to the Messi family. So there's a lot of ties there already. And as we said, he's got history with Miami, even as a holiday destination anyway. So he might well end up there because Busquets, I think, might go there, and maybe Luis Suarez and maybe other of his friends. I think this is the plan from an Inter Miami point of view. However, it would be crazy, I think, for Messi right now to agree anything, to agree to stay in Paris, to agree to go back to Barcelona, to agree to go to Milan, to Miami, sorry, because there's just no need for him to make a decision right now. Right now, he's focused on the World Cup and he's got a lot of work to do in here in Doha, and that can come later. There's no rush.
Jules, I'm worried that you living with Mark Ogden's making you a bit negative, Jules.
No,
come on,
no.
Keep that optimism up. We'll say thank you very much to Julien Laurent.
No chance.
Ali, MLS, makes sense?
From MLS perspective, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Sign him up. Pick him up.
Yep, of course.
Of course.
Get Mbappe, Haaland, the whole shebang.
Sure. Everybody, come on over. I think Jules just mentioned there that MLS will be available to Lionel Messi whenever he wants it. If he wants it, MLS will be there. So for Lionel Messi, he's holding all the cards. It's up to him, really. And he has reached the point in his career in which he's probably going to do what suits him best, what's best for his family, what he's going to enjoy doing. And if that means going to Inter Miami, then so be it. But from MLS's perspective, you wait for him now. 2 years from now, 20 years from now, it doesn't matter. Whenever Lionel Messi comes, you put the red carpet out because you won his brand as part of Major League Soccer.
It doesn't make any sense for me because it's not the right time to talk about it. It's why it's fake, because I think I can't believe that a player like that, with all the people working around him, is going to launch something like that and say that I'm going to sign for Inter Miami. Never. I'm sure he didn't have any discussion about it because he knows exactly that when he starts a discussion, people are going to talk about it. So I'm pretty sure that him and all the people working around him, they say, well, you know what? At least we finished the World Cup, and I guess at least we finished almost the end of the season, and maybe you can start talking, you know, in April when the MLS starts, but not before, for sure.
Doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. Makes as Ali says, if you're into Miami, well, anybody in MLS, you push to make this happen. But it's a different discussion around Lionel Messi than around Cristiano Ronaldo,
right,
per se, who quite clearly has come to the end of his superpowers, shall we call it. Lionel Messi showing no real signs of slowing down right now. Any club in Europe would happily have him. He could almost dictate the price as far as that goes. And as Ali says, when Lionel Messi is good and ready, when he decides that the time has come for him for the job to create on his European career, MLS will have him, and happily. And the league will move heaven and earth to make that happen whenever it happens.
Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest news regarding Lionel Messi and all the other possible transfers that could take place not only next summer, but of course in the January transfer window. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website. We'll turn our attentions once again to Group B. We'll talk about England against Wales in a moment, but let's refocus, shall we, on the US taking on Iran. Alexis Nunes is somewhere special ahead of the game that we'll see take place on Tuesday. Where are you, Alexis?
Yeah, Dan, well, I know it looks like I'm in a club, but I promise you I'm not in a club. I'm actually in a hotel, but the music is super loud. The lights are flashing because this is U.S. Soccer's official match day -1 party. They've been having these the nights before the USA plays in this World Cup, and this one definitely had the best turnout so far because everybody knows that it's a big match that's kicking off pretty much in a couple of hours because it's the wee hours of the morning now here in Doha. USA up against Iran. Everybody wondering what Iran they can expect. But we saw the American Outlaws. They were here and throughout the Portugal game. They were practicing their new chants. They have 4 new songs they've told me that they're planning to debut tomorrow because they know this is a do or die situation for the USA. Got to speak to a lot of them, including one that looks a lot like Ted Lasso. And I thought that they would have a bit more nerves going into this match, but they actually said they're quite confident. They're feeling buoyed after that match with England. They felt like they took that draw more like a win. They saw lots of positive signs. So they feel like the Iran game is one of their more manageable ones. Now, we never know which Iran is going to show up. But for the most part, the USA fans, they bought one-way tickets. They believe the US can go far. You know they love to sing. We believe that we can win. And tonight was no difference. They're still dancing behind me. There's probably going to be a couple of sore heads in the morning. But luckily, it's a late kickoff here in Doha. And for the most part, they're massively confident that they can take care of business tonight.
Alexis, who do they think is going to be the man? Who's got the eye of the tiger?
Oh, do you know what? There are a lot of shirts here with Gio Reyna on the back, and people are absolutely furious that they've not seen enough of him. Everyone wants Greg Berhalter to bring him on. They don't exactly know where or when, but they want him to be there, and they believe that he is their golden man. I thought that everyone would be talking more about Christian Pulisic, but it's true, it's Gio Reyna that everybody wants to see and just have him let loose when he plays Iran.
Alexis, thank you very much. Will they be partying in the USA tomorrow? See what I did there?
That was cute. Really cute.
It was hilarious. That's what it was. Football Americas will be live, of course, at the end of the game. Will they be laughing or crying? Be sure to check it out. Meanwhile, a lot of people have been crying because Phil Foden has not played a single minute yet.
Have you been?
Gareth Southgate said he's going to play an important part in this tournament for us. There's no question about that. Everybody needs hydrating.
Yeah. No, keep him fresh for the final.
Oh, really? The final of what?
Final countdown.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Do you play him tomorrow, Shank?
Absolutely. Listen, I think this England
instead
team...
Instead of who?
I don't know. He's give me some warning, will you? Before
we got Mason Mount, Raheem Sterling. Yeah. That seem to be the two that have been criticised.
I'd play him instead of Sterling. I don't think Sterling has offered an awful lot for quite some time. In all honesty, I understand the value of having Sterling on the park because of his pace and how people have to play to counter that. But I don't think he's given an awful lot in terms of creativity, especially against teams who are happy to sit deep and soak up pressure. Listen, I don't think the Wales game is any kind of judgment to go by on what's to come. It's a derby, and it'll have all kinds of emotions about it, but Wales are desperately lacking in quality, and that will not be much of a test for England going forward. You need creativity. You need your best players on the park. And there is no question in my mind that Phil Foden is one of those. While I can applaud Gareth Southgate for showing loyalty to players who've served him well, I think at some point you have to start making changes. You have to start introducing those players who can change, who can dictate games. And Phil Foden is one of the best in the England squad at doing that.
He's been the best player for England, hasn't he, so far? The hype around him, and it's incredible. Phil Foden put on a massive pedestal now.
Yeah, well, he has to play, come on. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, when you see him playing for Manchester City, especially in the position that he plays, comparing to somebody who is in that position, who hasn't been effective right now, it's a simple change to make, and it has to be done.
What's the score going to be?
England 3, Wales 0.
Oh.
A convincing performance and a reaction performance. Why do you make that face?
I don't know.
I'm supporting you.
I know,
but I thought there was going to be a momentum after the Iran game, and we were so bad against the US.
No, because you were so very good against Iran, a letdown was going to happen, and now you need to take off.
Right, okay, so it's the dip.
Yes, little dip, and now you go up again.
I'll allow Wales to score one goal, so 3-1.
3-1?
I'm going to go with Ali, 3-0.
Oh, yes? Okay.
Yeah, sleep easy, Dad. You'll be all right.
No, what's the problem?
No, I know it'll be all right. Just convincing performance is something, obviously, we're looking for. Here's the standings. Here's the reminder, then. In Group A, what is going on? Ecuador against Senegal, the Dutch against Qatar. They're done. Obviously, the hosts are out. It's all about... Well, the Dutch should get it done, shouldn't they, really, against Qatar? Senegal have to beat Ecuador to advance, obviously, given that the Dutch will get that win, will they?
Senegal beat my Ecuador?
It's your Ecuador now.
Well, I'm blaming every South American team. I don't know if you have figured that out.
I'm from Belgium now. I'm from Belgium. Are you from Scotland?
Well, they're not in it, remember.
According to him, you can change the country. That wasn't the point.
I think you're missing the point right now, Frank. I'm gonna say that Ecuador has been one of the few teams in this competition that know who they are and have been able to execute to their game plan. at times they were better than the Netherlands in that match and probably should have won the game. I'm going to say Ecuador remain consistent and do enough to, at the very least, draw against Senegal and they advance into the next round.
I agree with Ali in the terms of consistency that Ecuador showed, but I really think Senegal have better talents, and okay. I hope they're going to go through with the Netherlands.
Right.
All things being even, I agree. I think Ecuador, the major concern for me is around the fitness of Valencia, having been substituted in the last game. Is he 100%? How much does he contribute? Because he is so vital to everything for Ecuador.
We'll, of course, be looking back at that group on the next edition of the show. Can't guarantee it will lead the show, but be sure to join us. The FA, in their wisdom, decided to do an FA Cup third draw in the middle of the Portugal game.
In case you were watching it,
here are some notable ties. Chelsea against City, certainly the big one, isn't it? Liverpool against Wolves, United against Everton, all Premier League
affairs.
Wrexham got someone who I can't remember.
Oh.
Boreham Wood, maybe?
West Ham Brentford is a big one too, Dan.
What? Is it really?
All right, Shaq, remind you of that.
I'm invested in Wrexham now.
Oh, yeah, after the documentary. that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, for a huge one focusing on the US against Iran and England against Wales. But thank you very much to Shaka, to Ali, and to Frank. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next.
Oh, what?
What? What? Wait, what happened there?
Oh, hello. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes.
Today's your birthday, Dan? Happy birthday, Smarty Pants!
Wow.
Beautiful.
Smarty Pants. What are you doing to that net?
Oh, goodness me. I was not expecting. Somebody needs to warn me about these things.
You beat them all at some point?
Yes, back in the day, Frank.
Really?
Goodness me.
See, we focus on this one, right? But then we don't pay attention to that one. He is looking into my soul.
Oh, goodness me.
Into my soul.
Okay, good.
November 28th?
Oh, goodness.
Yes, November 28th.
Like my God. Happy birthday, Dan.
So we should talk, make it about you and your family somehow. Thanks, Frank.
Oh, come on. You can be the only one, you know, being born in November 28th.
It's supposed to be my moment. Supposed to be happy birthday to me. And you're making it about
your daughter. Like a minute, that's enough.
I don't think even made
that stupid
seconds.
Picture.
Yeah. That picture is your moment.
My God.
We need to be warned. Somebody needs to warn us.
He's behaving like a...
It only gets better. It only gets better.
I am hanging on this
goodness
net.
Me.
And you love it.
Oh, God.
What are you trying to do with the net? What was the purpose of the picture?
To look good.
Really? Yeah, it worked.
Right, good.
Right now.
Now Extra Time is next.
Please do that again.
This is FC Extra Time, brought to you by Globant. Hello and welcome in.
Hello indeed.
Did anybody from Globant see that photo?
Wow.
That's what anybody, did you see that photo?
Look at that.
It looks good though, doesn't it? It looks very good indeed.
What a way
to spend my birthday.
What a specimen.
What a treat.
I like the guy. They're not serious about it, you know?
Right.
They are waiting for two other lions.
No, they just need one person in that picture. No, we don't need anybody else. I think that's enough for everyone.
Nobody else could fit into that picture.
For Shaka, Portugal's first goal, would you have liked to have seen the keeper be more aggressive and come out for that cross?
Which goal?
That's the Ronaldo goal.
No, couldn't come across. Keeper couldn't come for that.
No, too good far ball. Out.
It was just a very good ball at head height. As a keeper, you can't commit if there's a chance that somebody gets a touch. Had Ronaldo not been there, it's an easy take, but with him being able to get a touch on it, you can't come.
Would you say you were better on the line or getting out?
I was best in the bar, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
What? I'm in the where?
In the bar.
Oh. Hey, who was better in goal? You, Shaq, or Dan?
Goodness me!
There's nothing you can do to top that.
Cut the cake, we want to have a party.
Oh, yeah, that's
can I have the right arm? Yeah, as a French guy, I want a head.
Why can't you cut it? Why did you tell me?
I'm cutting it.
Shaka, he has the style.
We need to see it again, though.
He was a goalkeeper, so he.
That's all right.
No, please, let's see it again.
I wouldn't mind a bit of cake to get us through this extra time.
Look at that.
There you are.
Oh, look at that.
Here we go.
Look at that.
Why don't you throw
it? Oh, my word.
Look at the soul, why don't you?
Oh, man.
Hang on this.
Oh. If that doesn't give you a sugar rush, I don't know what does.
Every year, really?
Every year.
I need to be one.
Was this the one with the frosted tips? No.
No, this is no frosted tips. That was both.
No, please, that set us over the edge.
When was that picture was taken?
2005.
Hey, why are you acting like
you don't age?
You know exactly. Yeah,
2005. Yes. That's my first show. That's at the Burnabout.
Why are you acting like you don't have that photo blown up over your bed?
Circa 2000.
I think briefly that picture was my MySpace picture. It was very much ages last.
Oh man, I have no idea.
I think that's the way he sold himself to ESPN. He said, look,
oh, yeah.
I'm really into football.
Yeah, you imagine our boss wouldn't see it. Frank, how do you rate 39-year-old Pepe in his duel with Nunez?
Gorgeous.
Well, it's hard to think. It's like, you know, some people are talking, because I know he's going to say, you know, that it's only one man because he's supposed to be to mark another guy, that he is the only one to be gratified for that or not. I think Pepe did his job and did very well today. And but at the end of the day, was helped by the others. And you have to consider that it's not only individuals, you know, who can sort any problems out. But Pepe, I was very convinced by his performance.
Right.
Yeah, professional.
Ali, how annoyed do you think Ronaldo will be that Bruno was credited with that goal?
Very. Extremely annoyed. He wanted so bad to have gotten a touch on that.
Yes.
So bad he wanted. And the way he was looking at the screen is almost as if there's got to be a touch. Look at the ball changing direction. It's changing direction, isn't it? You know, it means quite a lot to him to score goals. And that's honestly what makes him the player that he has been, that sort of drive and hunger, in which every goal is his goal. I don't know how I can talk about Ronaldo now when all I can see.
Did he know that he hadn't touched it?
Of course, you know.
You have three plates.
You know.
My God.
Only three plates.
That's okay. I'm on diet.
No, there's a fourth one.
I think that's a hair problem with Ronaldo.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got so much hair gel in. If he touches it, everybody, the whole city would know.
And as a reminder, though, and we mentioned it in the show, the best evidence that he did not score this goal, that he knew he hadn't touched it, that he did not commit to the shoo.
Yeah, true. Shaka, do you think Portugal can go all the way to the final? They seem like one of the most balanced teams.
And I can see Portugal getting to the semi-final. But I still, the best two teams are France and Brazil, who are opposite parts of halves of the draw.
Can we get a fork?
That would be the final.
We love the fork.
This is nice. I'll tell you what, the icing is really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Whoop, I got it.
Thank you
very much.
Appreciate that.
Oh. Yeah. Ali, did you even try to steal a teammate's goal like Ronaldo did with Bruno today?
No, but I didn't try to steal them. I actually got touches. There was one towards the end of my career where moving was difficult.
Okay.
The bar was low.
Anyway. Yeah.
I had the role of the guy who's on the keeper on the corner kick.
Yes. You know,
that's thankless job.
Just a pain.
Yeah, just there.
The net was hard to swallow. I have to say that the picture is hard to swallow in many ways. That picture, that. Damn, I mean, whatever.
Are you okay, Frank?
Frank's we're going to have to talk.
So, yeah. Somebody heads the ball. I'm turned to the play because I'm, again, minding the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. The ball hits me on my backside, graces my backside.
Okay.
Even though the size of my backside could...
Yes. Hard to miss it. It's hard to miss
it. Yes. Right. Hey, but guess what? It may have been an inch out of the off the line. I claimed that goal, baby. It was important. I went, celebrated, and then
I'm going to give you a full disclosure here. Okay. While I was playing, much like Ronaldo today, I was paying attention to see who they had given the gold to.
Okay.
And there was a delay, so they must have been checking. They checked. Alejandro Moreno, come on!
Did you get a goal-scoring bonus? Was that in your contract?
If you were the leading goal scorer for the team, I think at one point was
okay. All right, so that wasn't.
No. I was the leading goal scorer for my team a few times, Dan.
I played against Belgium in Stade de France, and I pretended that I scored when it was clearly a non-goal. And they put, and I'm as happy because on the start of the French say, goal from Frank Leboeuf. And like 5 minutes after, they say, no, it's a non-goal. But I was happy.
You've been moaning about Ronaldo, 38-year-old, doing this.
I didn't celebrate, you know. I just did that because it was a goal, but I didn't go.
Surely celebrating.
He celebrated, and they gave it to him.
You see some people celebrating because they score. They all go together, even if they know it's a non-goal, but I didn't do that. We clearly saw that he was trying to pretend that he touched the ball.
How is this cake for your French palate?
Listen, I liked it. Oh. I didn't like the net and pitcher. It was, I said, you know, hard to swallow, but otherwise, no, very, very tasty.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I never had a cake at 7 in the afternoon.
No? What time is your cake time?
Time for cake, everyone!
dessert time.
Right.
After dinner.
Yes.
So let's say that I started with a cake and I'm going to finish with, the starter.
Okay, perfect. So there you are. Huh? Final questions for Shaq.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we can go though.
What is Shaka's hair dye budget?
I do not dye my hair.
It's the same budget for that cake.
I do not. Have never, will never.
No? If you started to go grey, you wouldn't be tempted to?
No.
No, just some men in there?
No.
But when you grow a beard, you have a horrible beard.
Yeah. No, my beard is very lovely.
But
it's very grey.
It's very grey.
Oh, it's grey.
Yeah, he has a grey beard. Yes. Yeah.
Do you think I should dye my...
No.
My beard?
No.
I would look younger, no?
I would scare the kids.
You would look ridiculous.
Ali, how can you go that extreme, you know?
If you had hair, would you dye it if it was going grey?
No, that's ridiculous. After 50 years old, it's normal if you're not, you know, gifted like Shaka. It's normal to have gray hair, and it's abnormal to pretend that you are, you know, without gray hair. I think it's ugly. When you see people, you know, dyeing their hair, it's ugly.
But how do you know they've dyed it?
Because you can see it. Because it doesn't.
Like mine, you can tell. Like me, you can tell.
No. Shaka.
You can tell I don't dye my hair.
I want to believe him.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to believe him?
Yes, because
I don't dye my hair. I'm telling you.
Right. You get a bit high now.
Yeah, because
we want to prove.
My cake's done. I've had my cake.
Mitch Shouting. No.
What? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Dan, do you want me to take your plate, you know, to go to the kitchen?
It's too little, too late.
It's too late.
Too little, too late.
Oh.
I can't believe we didn't know it was your birthday, Dan.
Well, you know, very modest. I don't like things being about me.
Yeah. Keep to yourself.
I like. I know what you're talking about.
That is it. That brings
you're
us to the end
private person.
Of today's show. Thank you
very
much.
Private.
Thank you for the... Was that necessary?
No, because normally what we do is we put the cake in your face, you know, to celebrate.
It doesn't sound like a celebration.
Just fun. You know, you never know. Maybe you quite like it.
Have a cake shoved in my face.
Tell me what I'll do. I'll hang on to this.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Really so
lovely. Good. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Find it different.
Into your soul. I will look into your soul.
Look at me.
We will be back here tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
You as well?
If we properly digest, we don't know.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. It's your birthday. It's your cake. I don't know.
Hang it on to the net.
All right.
A strong net.
Strong net.